The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This. Some programming notes for tonight here on Channel 12. Of course, you know, this is WTJX Radio, but this is Channel 12, WTJX TV. That's the flagship for everything we do. Monday, May 13th, 7 p.m., the PBS News Hour from 7 to 8. And then at 8 to 9, we got the Antiques Roadshow, Explore Astonishing Finds in Akron, Ohio. And for those of you who don't know, Akron, Ohio is the home of not only LeBron James, but the birthplace of not only LeBron James and home, but also Steph Curry was born in Akron, Ohio. And I believe Firestone Tires, their headquarters is in Akron as well. I will let Dwayne look that up for me while we figuring it out. At 9 p.m., House in the Garden, Show Fuso and Modernism Vanishing Chinatown. Okay, Show Fuso and Modernism Vanishing Chinatown. That's at from 9 to 10 p.m. Then at 10 p.m., Photographic Justice, The Corky Lee Story. Explore Corky Lee's epic quest to document Asian American history, culture, and activism. Right? So that's from 9 to 10. I mean, from 10 to 11, and then I'm Important Company from 11 to midnight. Okay, so the PBS News Hour at 7, Antiques Roadshow at 8, House in the Garden at 9, Photographic Justice at 10, I'm Important and Company at 11 to midnight. Let me do a Cora McCall here real quick. Joining us from the Big Island here on St. Croix, attorney Dwayne Henry, a childhood friend and renowned defense lawyer here on the island of St. Croix. Good morning, counselor. Oh, no. Now, let me go with Doc School. Out of St. Thomas Fusca, we have to get Dwayne back on the line. The handle, three-term senator out of St. Thomas, St. John, Donald Doc School. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President, and it's a sunny and hot day, man. It's heating up.
You got the Atlantic Ocean to your north, so you enjoy that heat, okay? Coming off the water, yes. Okay?
Absolutely. Today is one day I think I'm going to hit the beach, brother.
Yeah, that's a good move. And then we
that's what happens when you retire.
And then we got Dwayne Henry, my childhood friend, counselor, defense lawyer, par excellence here on the Big Island. Morning, counselor. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, the handler, that's hot air blowing it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm
doing.
That's
why I get
cool off, man. I have to get cool off. I been down to one of the top 10 beaches in the world over there in Megan's Bay. You know what I mean?
And the water temperature is, what, 90?
But that's good. I kind of feel good. It's filling there, man. You're getting some moisture.
They call it soup. Soup to the calito. Or soup, like we don't say.
You know, tomorrow, well, we got two more game fours tonight, right? I think we got Dallas and OKC, and we also have Boston and Cleveland, right? And then after those two games tonight, every series will have played four games. And then Aaron Gana sweeps in this round. So every series going to go at least five games. Couple of them definitely going six because Indiana and the Knicks are tied at 2-2, and Denver and Minnesota are tied at 2-2 as well. But we're also looking forward tomorrow night, right? The Indiana Fever, Doc School, Caitlin Clark, joining up with our own Aaliyah Boston, and we're hoping to see the Indiana Fever be a playoff team this year, man.
Hey, listen, I'm so excited, Neville, and guess what? We're going to be seeing Aaliyah every game because they're going to be broadcasting Aaliyah and the Indiana Fever because of Caitlin Clark. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to try to be in Atlanta when they go to Atlanta to see them in Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. Right?
But definitely I've been looking for this thing for a long time, Neville, so it's coming. And I'm going to enjoy it. Now, I got to look, you know, you got to look at the Aces out in the West. The Aces powering their way through with those girls over there. So big. The league is going to be awesome.
Them girls too big and too good out there, man. We got Indiana going to stretch them apart. Caitlin Clark going to be shooting 35-point, 3-pointers to bring out them bigs out there, Mr. Clark.
No, but Neville, did you hear how the coach say that And this is just reporting that she wasn't trained right in things. She was taking them shots too deep, and you know she needs to be able to get acclimated and come in and do that. So she had basically a critical analysis of how she was being coached in college.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to impact.
Well, it's a different game, number one, right?
Uh-huh.
And she is so much. She was so much more better. Right? I don't know if that's good English, but she was so much more better, right, than the competition in college. That's not the case in the pros. That's not the case in the pros, right?
Yeah.
And so what she's going to learn, right, is that you got to learn to use your teammates more in a professional game, right?
Yeah.
Screens. One of the things that Steph Curry was so good at is moving without the ball, right? Yeah. This thing about one person dribbling the ball and taking the shot, then what are the four members that are for? Right,
standing around checking video,
and getting the cardio better, right?
Yeah,
you can't do that in a pro game. You got to get these players involved, and not only that, we're paying you a lot of money, right? We're paying professional players a lot of money. Everybody got to get some touches. They got to be involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing her grow. Look, like she's a highly intelligent young lady. And you know, she got a great teammate in Aaliyah Boston. And there's another player on that team as well, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to seeing the Indiana Fever take that next step. And hopefully, you know, we could see Aaliyah Boston playing deep down in August and September.
Coaching.
Guidance.
That's what has to happen. I want to see that happening.
You need that guidance. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you guys are quite generous. But I can go ahead and make it clear. And my good friend, the engineer, Sintran, he's a huge Caitlin fan. And I'm not impressed. She's going to have to impress me. You know, it's like...
Who you talking about, Robbie?
She's about to get some blows in the NBA, okay?
You talking about Robbie Sintran for Clemente?
Yes. That's what I said, the engineer.
Let me tell you something, Dwayne. Uh-huh. Typically, I will take your position, but this girl in ordinary, Dwayne, she could shoot that. She could shoot this basketball, my son. She got skills. Seriously, she got skills. And I believe, right, Dwayne, and you know me, right? You know I don't eat, sleep, and
drink. This woman is like God.
She's gonna take her lumps like every rookie to take when they come into the professional game, right? But I'm gonna tell you something. She playing with Aaliyah Boston, right?
Uh-huh.
And here's the rules about playing with a talented big player like what Aaliyah is, right?
Uh-huh.
You can't leave Aaliyah one-on-one. You got to send a double team to Aaliyah, because if Aaliyah get a chance to go against anybody one-on-one, Aaliyah gonna dominate them, right? And because of that gonna create some space for Caitlin Clark. Any kind of space for Caitlin Clark with her skill ability to shoot that basketball, that's a problem.
That's what I'm saying, Neville. That coaching, man, and how they're gonna run it. I saw a couple of the preseason game, and I saw some plays where she has the ability to pass the ball, Neville. She's a good guard. She can pass. So when she come off a screen, Aaliyah roll to the basket, the ball is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When they double down on her, you're absolutely correct. Then she's able to hit that mid-point shot and drop back behind the three-point line. So coaching and how they execute the coaching, Neville, I think is going to make a difference.
Now to piggyback on what Dwayne's saying, though, and I sure did, this is one of the angles that Dwayne, knowing Dwayne like I know Dwayne, right? She going to see a certain type of physicality in the WNBA that she didn't see in college.
And the
question is going to be, when then girl rubber off a screen and knock her down, right? Oh. And ain't going to happen one time, neither. It's going to happen on numerous occasions. Are you going to get back up, or are you going to stay there waiting for the referee to make a call to save you? That's going to be critical.
I think this young lady
is a scrapper. I think she's a scrapper. Yeah.
It'll be good.
This young lady is built for it, Neville, and I believe from what I've seen thus far, coaching is going to make the difference. The plays that you're going to run is going to make the difference. How are you going to get Aaliyah to be as dominant as she's supposed to be in the paint and utilizing Kate Glenn with a shooting.
Leadership, man. It's about leadership, man. It's about leadership. You need leadership. Oh, you know, one good thing I like about Caitlin Clark, and I got to we're going to close all the conversation on this. She is obsessed with getting her degree. I love that, my son.
Uh-huh.
Because she signed I believe her contract is for $28 million with Nike, you know.
that's why they're going to beat her up.
her pension don't set already, you know.
That's why every time she come out them screen, she gonna be on the bottom.
Her pension don't set, so then girl say, well, since your pension don't set, let me touch you up a little bit. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be good. So, Doc School, you heard from a Chinchari that your boy pick up a petition, right?
Yeah.
That's not the case, right? It's not the case, right?
Because I
can't do it, because if I do that, then I can't be here in the mornings, man. And you know, being here in the mornings, I get educated every day.
We'll take care of that for you.
I am just echoing things that I hear some of the fans are saying, and I tell them I'm getting the same kind of pushing on Neville.
I know.
I'm getting the push.
I know.
And I told them I enjoy waking up, and I Neville, I truly enjoy being and analyze this with you and Rocky and counselor and the other counselor. You know what I mean? I really, really enjoy it. And the show itself have brought to the forefront, Neville, a lot of issues that are going unresolved. You understand what I'm saying?
Our obligation is to actually get mental stimulation taking place with our people, man. That's what we need.
Yeah, and your mantra is, by 10 o'clock in the morning, you're more knowledgeable than you are when you woke up here.
That's called Aurora Borealis, man.
The one of the
weekend. Aurora Borealis. Yeah. Check this out, right? The most prolific scorer in NCAA Division I history and the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft will continue her association with Nike by signing a $28 million U.S. contract that spans 8 years and includes a signature shoe. So, we're going to divide that 28 into 8. That look like 3.5 to me, right? Mm. Because 3 is 24 and 4 is 32. And 28, they're right smack dab in the middle. So $3.5 million a year, like I was saying, St. Thomas. And ain't play a game yet, you know. Wow. That's beautiful.
What does that tell you? Let's move on.
Hard work. Hard work does pay off. You know, doubt about that. So the question, gentlemen, is, right, today is a big day in New York City. And I'm not doing Henry. We need some guy. Hey, by the way, Docs, one of your boy them from Iraq just text me and said, "Some boy, I wish I'd been on that show with IO." So I text him back and said, "How we gonna make that work?" He said, "Man, I need to walk. I can't even come out." I said, I know that, you know what I mean? So he there in the private sector, so you're not coming out with this one here. So this case, right, was looked at, and I wanna start with you, Dwayne, as the least likely case to have impact prior to the November general election. And it looks like right now that it may be the only one.
Absolutely.
That happens before the November general election, because the immunity argument. See the cockering already. Cock were waiting for this one already, right? The cockering in the back, right? The immunity deliberations, right? We're waiting for a ruling from the Supreme Court with respect to that. And that's the J6 case. The Atlanta case was undermined with this revelation with respect to Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis, right? And he went and roll on my woman, right? This Nathan Wade, so I got to go to Ducks. When you go to Atlanta, I walk in with you because we go look for Nathan Wade, right?
Yeah.
He roll on my Fanny, and next thing you know, that case up the river now. And by the way, we found out over the weekend, the Trump team appealed McAfee's ruling, and the appellate court is now going to look at whether or not Fani should be disqualified, right? Yeah. So that case, right? And in the Florida case with the with the classified documents, it really is an insult to the judiciary what Judge Aileen Cannon is doing down there. Everybody is pretty, they're not only dumbfounded by some of her rulings with respect to motions and all that stuff, but she is literally, right, and every type of Lee, right, figuratively, insultingly, she is delaying this case. Justice delayed is justice denied. There's a classic example going on there in Florida, right? But this New York case, today, the man in the middle, the fixer, the conduit, the nexus, Michael Cohen taking a stand, Dwayne Henry. How explosive on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being maximum explosiveness and 1 being a 0, being just another day at the office, is his testimony going to be?
12. And I'm serious.
Wow.
Michael Cohen told us a couple months ago that he is going to testify to a lot of stuff that people never knew or heard.
Wow.
And it could only get worse. NPR, it was this morning, when they were reporting on the story, they said, you know, Michael Cohen, who did the Trump's dirty work, included stiffened vendors. You know, that's the level, I think, of it's going to get salacious. It's going to be some wild stuff he's going to testify to. And I think what it's going to do is it's going to, you know, the Trump supporters are going to double down, of course, but I think a lot of people that are in the middle are actually going to begin to say, well, wait, there's some crazy stuff going on here, and maybe I need to, like, take it. I think that, like you said, this trial was not expected to have much of an impact on, if any, on the election. Now I think this trial is actually going to have a significant impact on at least the middle voters.
Docs, let me ask you this question. This is street man thinking, yeah. When you hear of Cohen recording Donald Trump, do you know what comes to my mind? I believe he did this because he didn't believe he was going to get paid. He was going to get reimbursed. What's your take on that?
I believe so, too, because the man was working for the guy, and he know that he was a part of helping him not pay people, right? So he wanted to protect his bag. He wanted to protect his back. He said, listen, I'm going to hold this one close to the chest in the event he turned on me like he have turned on me. So I really believe that Michael Cohen was a little smarter than Trump. But guess what? Guys, as much as I say this, I don't see a jury convicting Trump. You know? Michael Cohen already went jail and served his time. But I don't see 12 of them people going to bring Trump back. Guilty.
I'm going to stop it right there. That's a good point. And then I'm going to ask Dwayne what's his take on that, because Dwayne knows about how juries look at things and how hard it is to get a unanimous or a consensus position on cases of this nature. We'll take a break. I'll be back right after this here on the Table Talk here and Analyze This. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Res, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
You need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m.
on WTJX-FM 93.1.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
We're back here and analyze this. And we got Donald Duskool joining us from St. Thomas and Dwayne Henry here from St. Croix with the table talk. Dwayne, Duskool just made a good point. You got jury at 12. I think you got six alternates as well. How hard is it to get unanimity with respect to a case of this, which is so delicate because you got witnesses who have already served time. You got former employees. You got, and not only that, the time frame, the activity that they're looking at, the window that they're looking at, where this activity took place was 7, 8, 9 years ago. How critical is that as it relates to the jury processing all this information?
Okay, normally, that would be a tough one for prosecutors, of course. Jury trials, we all ask for jury trials because it helps the defense actually a little bit more than it helps the prosecution, especially in technical trials. In a technical trial, you want to go with the judge because he's going to understand, you know, he's, lack of a better term, more educated, probably seen more cases of the sort, et cetera, and would give you a fairer thing. And if you think your evidence is strong enough, it would support going with a judge. But a jury, it's always up in the air. You never know what a jury is going to do. However, I want to say that this is New York City. This is Manhattan, right? New York County. Trump is despised in this place. So a jury trial actually doesn't help him at all, I don't think, in this case, which is why he wanted to change the venue.
Yeah, he wanted to try to be in Staten Island.
Yeah, which is his area.
Mm-hmm.
But Manhattan, good old liberal Manhattan, you know, and then, and like I said, Trump has a really bad reputation in New York. You know, people are thinking of his national reputation where The Apprentice, blah, 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 blah. A lot of people in New York, you know, they like his celebrity status and stuff like that. But I still think he's a scumbag.
He didn't have landlord issues in New York City back in the day?
Big time. He did things like threw little old ladies out of their apartments. He ran, him and his father run Starrett City out there by Coney Island. And for years, they didn't admit Jews and blacks there. It took a court case. You know, this guy is not well-liked, and he's known for scamming on taxes, everything you could think of.
Let me stop you right there. Ducks, what is it about the case that you are of the belief that it's going to be hard to get the unanimity necessary to convict Donald Trump?
Listen, everything the counselor just said, I agree with. But there's some people who like Donald Trump in Manhattan.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm saying that somewhere in that jury selection, I believe that one or two of those individuals sitting on that jury is in that jury pool right now. I really believe that. I don't see, with all the evidence that is brought forth and is presented, right,
somebody is going to hang this jury. Someone of those individuals who align with Trump, they might have been able to get past all the questioning and sitting on that on the jury. But I will, that's just my gut feeling, because ain't everybody in Manhattan despise Trump. I believe somebody slipped through. And Dwayne, you have picked juries before, you have been juries, and a lot of times you would expect a jury, you pick a jury to do a certain things. I go back to the O.J. Simpson case, guys. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Where mm-hmm. O.J., where Marsha Clark picked a group of women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of, I believe, black women, basically, but didn't look at the fact that, hey, listen, we black people, you know. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying somewhere in that pool, somebody's in there that's gonna make Trump walk.
Check this out, Jeff. Check. No, go ahead. Do they respond to that? I'm going to bring up a point with respect to Judge Marshall.
I respect your pessimism. And you're right. A jury, you never know what's going to happen with it. You know, people go, what do you think the jury is? I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. The jury process, because I don't think there's anybody sitting on that jury right now that's hardcore Trump that's going to hang the jury regardless. I think there might be some skeptics. But remember, the process of jury deliberation, very rare on the first vote do you get 12 people agreeing on anything.
Mm-hmm.
They go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And a lot of times, people will give up, like say, look, man, you know, you might be holding out and say 12 to, you know, 11 to 1. And then they'll say, you know what? And sometimes they compromise. Well, we bring him out on this and not on that. You know, so there's a lot of outcomes that can occur that would result in some kind of conviction for Mr. Trump.
Now, last week, gentlemen, we had a high-profile witness, right? Stephanie Clifford, better known as Stormy Daniels, right? And
the girl by her name, man. What Stephanie Clifford you talking about?
Stormy, right? Stormy, right? and as a result of her testimony, Donald Trump now has a new nickname. We call him Spanky, right? Bye. Right. But here's the deal. Here's what I found interesting last week. The testimony, of course, got a little too detailed, right? just to be sarcastic, a little too detailed. So the Trump thing is, we want a mistrial, yeah. Right? And check this out. The judge, right, who Trump, you know, he has this tactic of claiming that every judge is against him and all that stuff, right? The judge has been trying to defend, has been trying to overly, right, be fair to to Trump, right? He even called his lawyer for a sidebar and tell your client to stop cussing in the court, right? I don't want to embarrass him, but he needs to stop, right? But here's what happened, right? Apparently, the defense lawyers, right? Trump lawyers had a problem. Trump's lawyers had a problem with some of the testimony, and the judge had to tell them, right? 'Tis your fault why we reach here, right? Uh-huh. Where he said, right? And here's what the judge said, right? I pulled it up here on Politico.com, right? Judge Justice Wang Mershan harshly criticized Donald Trump's defense attorney as he denied another motion for mistrial over Stormy Daniels' weighty testimony, right? After the jury was excused this afternoon, the judge heard arguments from the defense and prosecutors on the mistrial requests, the second one lodged by the defense this week. Merchant bluntly pointed out what he saw as numerous missteps by Trump's lawyers. The defense lawyers' overall strategy and their failure to object at key moments during Daniel's testimony allowed much of Daniel's testimony to stand, the judge said. Defense attorney Todd Blanche argued in part that Daniel's testimony was extraordinarily prejudicial because she described her alleged sexual encounter with Trump in a way that could be interpreted as assault or coercion. It's a dog whistle for rape, Blunt said of the testimony, adding it had nothing to do with the 34 counts that Trump is on trial for falsification of business records. On the witness stand Tuesday and this morning, Daniels said she lacked memory of aspects of the sexual encounter, that there was a power imbalance, and that Trump is much larger than her. But she also said he did not use force, nor did he threaten her during the episode. In the criticism of Trump's defense, and this is the part that I want us to focus on, the judge began with Blanche's open statement. Blanche opened the door for testimony about the alleged sexual encounter by telling jurors that Daniels' claim was made up, the judge said. Prosecutors, quote, do have the right to corroborate her story, which was immediately attacked on opening statements, Merchant said. So, Dwayne, I want to come to you with this one here. The judge is literally saying that during the opening statements, defense attorney, you opened the door for the prosecutors to do something to question what you were saying in your opening statements. So my question to you is, remember now we're an analyst, so we got to speak that good English, right? Aren't opening statements even more valuable than people think they are?
As a matter of fact, opening statements are extremely, probably the most important thing you're going to say in court is the opening statement in many cases, because that sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
You get to tell your story. Of course, you have to present this evidence during the trial to back up what you said in the opening statement. But the opening statement cases are won and lost on opening statements.
Wow.
In many cases.
Wow.
Especially if you got a long winded trial. Most jurors are not going to remember much of the long winded, but they're going to remember that opening statement. And everything goes, a juror sitting there compares the evidence as it's presented to them to what the lawyer said in the opening statement. But he said such and such, but then he never, that's why the judge says, as a matter of fact, it would have been malpractice if the prosecutors didn't rebut. It's really like a rebuttal testimony by bringing Stormy Daniels to the stand. And they were quite happy because they probably couldn't have brought her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they attacked her credibility in the opening statement, then she has the right, and the prosecutor has the right to rehabilitate her by bringing her to the stand and having her explain what happened.
Doc School,
that was bad lawyering, I think, on Trump's people's part.
Doc School, so let me ask you this question based on that point, because we're looking for a point counterpoint, right? Docs, if you are Donald Trump and you hear the judge telling your lawyer them, but wait a minute, what really going on? You had chances to object, you didn't object. And then you took this position in the opening statement, and it looked like you yourself were stunned with the amount of details that Stormy Daniels came up with, because you said in the opening statement that my client denied that they had a sexual encounter, right?
Yes,
so you know what happens there, right? You know how hard it is for a defense attorney, right, to listen to a client, believe what your client telling them, and then when a testifier literally refuting what the client tell them with all of these details, that's why the defense look like they are some confused.
Well, I don't know if they're confused or not, because based on my listening to a lot of the people who are commenting on this case and attorneys and stuff, is that Donald Trump
is a lawyer. Is a lawyer?
These guys are just his sworn lawyers are just trying to wrap a case on what Donald Trump is telling them. Okay? Uh-huh. So they bounce into these things. Donald Trump said this thing never happened. So when you go up there, you got to say that this thing never happened, okay? And Dwayne can speak to this issue, because he's been in the courtroom. I ain't never been in the courtroom prosecuting or defending anybody. But if the client is saying this is what I'm doing. And you as the attorney, Dwayne, can get the client to say, listen, this argument is not going to work well because there's a lot of holes going to be posed in this argument. What do you do? And that is what I'm saying. Trump is calling the shot, and these guys are trying to put an argument, right?
Docs, before Dwayne answer, I go Dwayne, I know why you're laughing. Docs, I go give your credit, man. You take my question and you turn it into a question for Dwayne. I like that one, man. You're good. You're good for Joe. You're good. But in all honesty, Dwayne, that's a legitimate question because the defense counsel now, it looks like they knew all along that this man been lying to them. And now that Stephanie Clifford, me mind and I was Tommy Daniel, Stephanie Clifford, right? has laid out the encounter with details. Right? Mm-hmm. They're basically telling Trump, well, what you want to do now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, this is a problem when you have those type of clients.
Yeah.
And I have had a couple. And it's extremely... You want to quit on the spot. You know? When you encounter people like this, you just want to quit. You're like, but a lot of times you're stuck with it. The judge, especially in criminal trials, judge ain't going to just let you withdraw just because you and them, you know, in a civil thing, you can have a disagreement over something simple and say, look, we just have a difference of opinion. I want to withdraw. But in a civil thing, especially, or rather in a criminal case, especially this one that's far gone, they're not going to let you back out. They're going to say you have to deal with it. And normally when that happens with a client, you have to be artful about how you present your client's views to the court. Because you have a reputation, you have an obligation not to make false statements to the court and stuff like that, knowing that they're false. So I like to speak, if I have questions about a client's position on something, I might use words like, my client maintains. I'm not going to be the one making the accusation. You know what I'm saying?
No, I like
so
that
you
one.
Preface it with things like that.
Mm-hmm.
My client maintained
his innocence.
My client has said previously, you know, the words like that pulls it back from you. You're just repeating what your client said, and you're not restating it in your own words. And that gives you some cover. But generally speaking, it's very, very difficult once your client goes out there and says something, and then, that's why the defense had to come up with this tap dance routine. But, you know, it sucks when it happens. It really does. It's happened to me before a couple times. But, you know, but you just got to be artful about how the client says, well, I want you to say this. You know, then you say, you know what? Let me sit down and craft this in a way that it doesn't look like I'm saying it. Because don't forget, a client, the criminal defendant, it's hard to convict them, to accuse them of perjury when they're saying their side of the story.
Stop right there. Stop right there. We'll take a break. We'll pick it up right there. And there's also this situation where we're finding out now where the president, the defendant, while he was president, was signing Trump Organization checks. So they got a question now as to whether he truly separated himself from his business while he was president of the United States. We'll take a break and bring it up right after this.
No.
That's insane.
On Finding Your Roots, Eliza Schlesinger.
I always thought I had a very small family that, like, almost came out of nowhere.
And Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, I wish my mom could hear this.
An ancestor's courage.
She left her whole family.
She paid for her own ticket.
I'm, like, emotional.
And a royal affair.
Duke of Plune.
She was the Duke's mistress.
Oh, that is crazy.
Tune in May 14th at 8 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and repeats Sundays at 7 p.m. and Mondays at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and repeats Sundays at 7 p.m. and Mondays at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here and analyze this, breaking down this unbelievable trial that's taking place, where a former president has been charged with falsifying business documents in an attempt to cover up a hush money deal from back in the day, and that has now turned into being looked at as election interference. I got Dwayne Henry, lawyer from St. Croix, joining me here, along with Donald Duck School.
And Rocky. Rocky just came in for the latter part.
I know Rocky wanted a piece of this Trump thing. Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ranking Member. Glad to have you on.
Good morning to you all. I'm sorry about the lateness, but man, I got tied up. Some business government.
It's okay. You got to do it. You got. We know that a battle fall on your boy head. So we know that you. We know you're suffering. You're probably suffering from a mini concussion. So it's okay. It's okay. Your excuse.
You're taking this thing a little too far. Yes, the battle may have fell on his head, but that was not the reason why. He didn't make it true, okay? I know you. You gotta feel their name. I know that. But listen, what happened, guys, is what happened with all of us. Father Time is coming.
Okay.
And so, Father Time is coming. Look at Nadal.
Yes, sir.
Nadal, I believe, he shouldn't even enter the French Open.
I agree.
I don't believe he should enter because he ain't getting by nobody. And Djokovic now could enter, but... He's struggling too. But Djokovic, I think, could come up with it because Djokovic is that much more talented.
The tournament, I believe, starts next week Monday, so we'll have some fun with that. Okay.
Yes.
Check this out. Let me wrap up this conversation because some crazy developments taking place with this case. Dwayne, before we do that, let's try our best to break down why these charges rose from misdemeanor level to felony level. Break that down for me, please, for the audience who's listening.
Yes, there's the New York state law that says that if you committed a misdemeanor, but if the real reason you did it was because you were trying to cover up a felony or a possible felony, that misdemeanor is now aggravated or elevated to a charge, to a felony. You know, it's an aggravation type of statute.
So a bookkeeping crime in furtherance of covering up another crime is what takes it from misdemeanor to felony.
That's correct. And the alleged crimes that he was trying to cover up were felonies.
Okay, good.
Or our felonies.
Okay, good. Duck School, there was a lady that testified on Friday. She's, a junior bookkeeper or something. I'll get her name. Manochi, I think her name is. And she stated that while
the president, while Donald Trump was president, she would mail checks to his bodyguard, a guy named Schiller, right? And he, they would FedEx them to her. They would FedEx the checks to him, right? He would then give them to the president so the president could sign them. And then the president would give them back to Schiller, and then he would send them back to New York. The president said early on that I am no longer running a company. My son, them running a company, right? If we finding this now, this out now, after the fact that in effect he never really did separate himself from leadership of the Trump organization, how you think the jury looking at that, Doc School? Since you're focused on the jury, how do you think the jury is interpreting that?
Well, I hope that the jury is interpreting that this man is a liar and everything he's saying is a lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look at it as the fact that he has done things and they're now claiming that he had no knowledge of them or he didn't do them. That is how I think I would hope that the jury is looking at that piece of evidence that is presented. That as the president, and he tell you, which I never believed anyway, when he was up there standing up with all his paper, a pile of paper higher than Mount Everest, and say he's turning it over to his son, I know Donald Duck Scholl didn't believe one word of what it is, but that is Donald Trump. That's what he does. His modus operandi is lie, 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 delay, 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 delay. That's how he deals. That's what he does. So that's what I think, I hope the jury is looking at, that he continues to lie, and he's before us today again, trying to lie to us, using his attorney to lie to us. That is how I think you should, you know, I hope they look at it that way.
Rocky, you have stated from the start, right, that from a political standpoint, people positioned on Baykeen already, right? Hardcore Trump supporters ain't going away. Hardcore Trump haters, they ain't going away. But that middle, that 30 to 40%, Rocky, that listening to this trial, how do you think they're interpreting what they're hearing?
I believe that group of people are scrutinizing every little inch of details that comes up to make decisions when the time comes. I believe that judging from all of these situations, innuendos and intricacies of the law, they would be able to make a sound decision as to whether or not they want to support him or they want to support the president. And I think that's the real test. Because all, like I said, those other people, they ain't going away. They're there and they're going to stay there. But this group of people, and you believe me, some of those people in other group may drop off too, you know. It depends on how egregious their action is, because people will think that, wait a minute, man, this guy ridiculous, man, this is what he did. You know, and you know what I don't understand, guys? Everybody else gets in trouble dealing with women issues. But nobody is saying nothing, and I just don't understand what it is. But even the judges, they're like they're dead scared of Trump. They don't want to do nothing. They just talk, talk, talk. But, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But when the time comes, nobody's doing it.
That's a good thing.
I judge you. Look, I judge you by your deeds. Not just by what you talk,
mm-hmm.
but your deeds. Your deeds determine who you are. And these guys, to me, I don't know, man. Something we need a lot to be desired, really.
Let me ask this question. Let me ask Dwayne this question based on what you said. Dwayne, this particular trial and what's taking place with Donald Trump and the judiciary, this could impact the judiciary in a far-reaching way, because we're seeing now that if you have profile and if you have money, that you could stretch things out way beyond the narrow focus of charges levied against someone if you have resources to do so.
Unfortunately, Donald Trump has proven to be the human wrecking ball that he is. Not only does he basically destroy the political system in the United States, he's about to destroy the judiciary. Not only by the type of people he's put on the bench, but also by his responses to these numerous cases. Like you said, you know, good lawyering can take you so far, but money takes you a lot farther.
Wow. Wow, that's unfortunate, though, Dwayne, because basically, have you noticed, Dwayne, and I'm sure you do, and I know the answer is, how many cases we're seeing that's being overturned now after people done solve 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years based on evidence that was ignored back when the cases were being tried and after these people life done destroyed, now you're setting them free because the same evidence that you rejected, you're now entering it into a court of law for public consideration?
Right.
And I mean, for judicial consideration, I'm sorry.
Thank the Innocence Project, of which I was one of the founding members of the North Carolina Innocent Project when I was in law school, that was founded by Barry Sheck at Yeshiva Law School in New York.
I know that. That's a high-profile name. He won with Clinton or something? One of OJ's lawyers, correct. Yes, that's what his name was, yes.
But he founded what's called the Innocence Project, and it's gone nationwide now. Every state has one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Innocent Project has been responsible. A lot of lawyers you see, and not all the time the story tells you it's the Innocent Project, but 90% of those lawyers are from the Innocence Project. That actually what we did when I was on a project in North Carolina, we would sit down and people we have local guys like Ruben Maduro and stuff that's always consistently contesting their innocence and writing to all the I know you've got letters from him when you were senator.
Mm-hmm.
He's very prolific about this.
By the way, just to show you how small this world is, that man there is my niece and nephew father.
All that. but you see, but what I'm saying is that we need an Innocence Project in the Virgin Islands, because I don't know if Ruben's case, I never reviewed his file, but, he's one person that strongly contends his innocence. And it only if it's investigated properly do we ever resolve those things. And like I always say, everybody in jail is innocent. There's no guilty people down there,
Mm-hmm.
So, but we need an innocence fight, because I assure you that in the Virgin Islands, there's probably several people that have done things. Done times for things that they didn't do.
Doc Skoll, what is it about Donald Trump that what he is being charged with and has been charged with would be automatic disqualifiers for Donald Cool, Armando Rocky Labor, Dwayne Henry, Neville James, Ronnie Russell, what have you. And for some reason, he is Teflon when it comes to these type of charges. Has the media failed the public in the sense that they should be going after him, or they just want to cover news, or because he is a needle mover, they need him to be in the limelight so that they can make money?
Neville, I always tell you guys that my study in college was political science, right? And American history. And I go back to Donald Trump is an example of what was put in the Constitution back in 1778, 79, 80. Minority rule. And minority rule with a 1%. Back then, Neville, you couldn't question the landowner, the property owner,
mm-hmm.
and the white man. And that is embedded in the Constitution. And that is one thing, Neville, I would hope, we could discuss. Why minority rule and why it continues to rule. And Trump represents a percentage of that minority, right? And he has the power, the money, as counsel says, to take the law back to its inception. Believe it or not. That you can't be dealing with me. I, Donald Trump, I full of money. I was the president. I can do what I want. I can get away. I can kill somebody in the square, and nothing is going to happen to me. Go back to that foundation, Neville, and I speak of foundation with the embedded in the Constitution, and counsel is from the judicial branch, but I'm speaking. That is what Donald Trump represents. You and I don't represent that, because we were in a class where we weren't even people. And we didn't have access to capital. We didn't have access to power. So we are going to be going through the mill. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to deal with him. But when you're touching somebody at that level, right, it becomes problematic. And you're handling them with his glove, because the system is being put on trial
and it goes right back to Neville. I tell you, that foundation, minority rule. He's in that minority group, and it's not him alone. You had others who've been in that group who have gone through this process, okay? And I leave it at that.
Rocky, do you believe that the Senate failed the people of America when they didn't deliver the final blow to him back in 2021 after he was impeached for a second time?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely, for sure. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
You think Republican senators, even though they're in politics now and they want to win the seat, you think that they regret not finishing him off and turning the page because now that they locked in potentially for another 4+ years if he's successful in November?
Yeah, well, a lot of them would have loved that to happen because right now they're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. And they're hoping something could give so they could get out. But,
so, Rocky, they're hoping that somebody could bail the cat for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
You know what it is? They're in too deep.
But you know what it really is, Rocky? They're afraid of him. They're afraid.
The same
man them who used to say the most heinous things about him prior to him becoming president, today, 8-9 years later, deathly afraid of him politically, man.
Yep. You can imagine. Look at how Trump is. Trump put some blows on the scientists. Make him look like a little toy, right? And he got turned around now, and Jimmy Dawson. Give me a break, yeah.
What about Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio? Well, my piece.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you know what's gonna happen though, and I want to thank all of you for joining. A lot of people will get turned off on the political process based on what's happening now. Regardless of the result, they're gonna get turned off, and that's where America loses. In the long run. Hey, gentlemen, great discussion this morning. Rocky, your boy going to be all right, man. Don't give up on him. He's going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Just text him and tell him whatever you do, stay away from the water bottles. Okay? And he's going to be all right. Dwayne Henry, Rocky Labor, and Doug School, thank you very much. Thank you to the audience. Be good and be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Another edition of Analyze This. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.